You are listening to a sermon by Heather Murray, recorded on Sunday, November 5th, 2023, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgmf.org.
Hi, everyone. Nice to see all these familiar faces and new ones too. Thank you for having me back here.
That microphone is not for amplification.
Yeah, and I'm just putting it up because it's in my line of sight when I'm reading. Okay, there we go. It sounds good? Okay, sweet. Hi, everyone on Zoom. Thank you for having me back here. I tend to start with a few caveats, and one of them is that I get nervous and then I need to drink a lot of water. So that's my first caveat. And I'm going to be talking about some touchy subjects, and I used to try to not get emotional, but now I just do and I just roll with it. So that might happen. The next thing I want to mention, oh yes, he's ready. Sweet. Okay, now we're laughing and I'm going to say something serious. The next thing is that this talk is ultimately about intergenerational trauma. Sure. And my own background is part of the Mennonite diaspora, like a number of people in this room and on Zoom. And but I'm not going to get into any historical detail or personal family history about escaping Russia. But if you're curious, you're in luck. My mom wrote a book about my family history. It's a memoir retold about my dad's mother. My dad is also in the book, of course, because he was born in Russia. And so this is a shameless book plug for my mom, if you want to know more. She didn't ask me to do this, don't worry.
What's your mom's name?
Helen Rose Pauls. Yeah. So I can get your details if you're interested and get a book sent to you. If that's what you'd like. Okay. My final caveat is that this is going to get really weird really fast. I had a bizarre experience that changed my life. It changed how I think about Mennonite history and how I talk about it and how I feel about how Mennonites share their story. So here goes. You can take it. So about 2.5 years ago, I got my COVID booster shot. Everything was fine. And all day, no real feelings. And then I went to bed and I woke up in the middle of the night and I was just roasting. I had a burning fever. My joints were achy. I felt very heavy. And I was shivering cold and sweating and all that. And I was wrapped up in my blanket like a burrito in the darkness. And the next thing I knew, I closed my eyes and I felt like my spirit left my body. And in a moment, I had traveled to the forest. My husband and I have this tiny cabin on Saturna Island in the Gulf Islands. And where I felt like I landed was about 10 feet off the ground above my steep gravel driveway. And as I drifted down, I heard whispers all around me, and I couldn't see anyone, and I couldn't make out what they were saying. And then I kind of went and kind of returned to my bed. And I remember readjusting and rolling over and saying, whoa, that was weird, and closing my eyes again. And then it happened again. And I floated back to the driveway, and I was hearing whispers and trying hard to understand them. And then waking up in bed. And this happened over and over and over again. And in my feverish state, like I really felt like this was happening. Like I was really like launching out and having this experience. And then the dream changed. On my next trip to the driveway, the whispers in my ears grew louder and louder. And then a voice came out and he said, "You have been chosen to heal the pain of your ancestors." I just heard that voice clear as day. Did you not hear that? Okay.
No,
the voice said, "You have been chosen to heal the pain of your ancestors." And it just rang in my ears. And then I came back and that happened again and again. And then every time I'd be like, "What is happening? Where am I? Am I in my bed? Where am I?" And it was like a total fever dream. So I told you this would get weird. I eventually slept it off and the fever broke. And I woke up dehydrated and confused. And what do we make of this? So, this piece is like a representation of this experience. It works better in forest green, but like, yeah. So I told a few friends about this experience and I asked them what they made of it. And one friend said that deep in my subconscious, I knew I needed to process the things that my ancestors went through. And my fever disrupted the status quo of what's going on in my mind and opened up access to a deep part of myself. That deeper part needed to bring something up to the surface, and that I needed to engage with my family's history, not necessarily like what happened, but how what happened to my ancestors affects me as a descendant. And I told another friend, and this friend said that I've been honored to have this experience. And she said it was a blessing from the spirit world that I had this out-of-body experience and encounter. And she took it to be like, well, this is real as what happened to you. And that, what am I going to do now? How am I going to live this like very heavy statement? And another friend was like, "Whoa, fevers are crazy. Like, that's a totally nuts dream you had. It's wild." So I imagine looking around this room and my friends over on Zoom, and there are various ways that this experience can be taken by people. And maybe some of you think this is awesome, and some of you might be feeling really uncomfortable right now. But whatever like really happened or whatever this is, it had a big impact on me, and that's very real to me. I was going to segue to talking about the piece at this point. So this is a piece that I made to reflect the dream state I was in and a lot of the visual elements, the things that I was seeing, and that message, that voice that I heard coming through. And where am I? Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so if anyone wants to talk about it later, that sounds great. The main message I want to put forward to other people is, what does it mean to be chosen to heal from the pain of your ancestors? What would come up for you if someone came up to you and was like, "Hey, you've been chosen to heal the pain of your ancestors"? And when I wrote this, I was imagining myself walking up to Evan, being like, "Evan, what would you say?" Like, just to like look inside, like I just had to like picture a person, like, okay, how weird would that be? And here's what I was thinking that morning. I know I can't travel back in time and heal previous generations that no longer are with us in some kind of space-time metaphysical jump. And I also believe that it's not my job to pressure any living relatives into seeking healing for their spiritual and psychological wounds from the traumatic events my family members have lived through. I feel like this was a message for me to look inside myself and ask, after all these years, what still lives in me? What is my inheritance of suffering? How does being the child of a refugee shape who I am? What does whatever you went through, or your parents went through, or your grandparents went through, and on it goes, how does that shape who you are? And what can we do to be aware of it, and if needed, find healing for it? On the moment of my intense dream, on the morning of my intense dream, a verse popped into my head. Someone read it earlier. It's in our bulletin. It's from Numbers 14, 17 to 20. And the most spicy section of that to me is where it says, "He punishes the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation." And I don't think of this passage in terms of people doing bad things and getting punished, and then their kids get punished, even though they had nothing to do with it. I think of it in terms of pain. The horrible experiences of a generation carries this psychological weight. It affects the behavior of that generation. And there's a ripple effect to generations from what they went through. So I got another story to tell. This one time a long time ago, I went to Victoria with Katrine Karsmaker, who I met from the Menno Simon Center. I don't know if anyone here remembers Katrine Karsmaker, but also thank you Menno Simon Center for awesome friends. And we went into a bookshop and maybe I should just take a bit to calm down. Had a really great time in Victoria with Katrine. We went into a bookshop, and when we came back out, there was this guy getting actively arrested for stealing all of our stuff. He had broken into our truck and he had taken like our luggage and our wallets and everything. We had just sort of like grabbed a debit card and like gone into the bookshop. So this guy was being placed into a police cruiser and our stuff was all over the sidewalk. And it was like, whoa, we just stepped out into this. And the police officer is like, "Do you want to talk to the guy who stole all your stuff?" I was like, okay. And he leads me over to the back of the police car. And I'm like, "Hi." And I think the police officer was expecting something more dramatic and was kind of disappointed. Yeah. And this guy started talking about like, "Oh, I'm actually a really good person. Because I'm cooperating with the police," and he was really like, "Oh, I'm a good person. No. And you just look into his eyes, and all you can see is how much pain he's in. And, you know, it's like a window into what this person's gone through. And all I could think of was, like, this guy comes from a very serious, painful place, and he stole from me. But who or what situation is the bad guy here? Is sin whatever this guy lived through? Or is it his thievery? And I battle with judgy feelings just like everyone else because this guy took my wallet. But he's also getting arrested. Like, he's getting arrested because he took my stuff. But is it a symptom of what was done to him? Being punished for the pain of his family to the third and fourth generation. I don't think any of us are exempt from pain. And I don't believe in the suffering Olympics where I can't have pain because other people have more pain. I heard that there are three things you can count on: pain, suffering, and constant work. Right about now, you're like, why did we ask Heather to come back? Didn't she talk about Job last time? And what I'm saying is that, yes, there are people who have it a million times worse than you. But that doesn't mean you're not allowed to hurt. And now I'm going to get more specific about Mennonites, because that's my cultural upbringing. In my experience, it's a given that in Mennonite circles, we have this responsibility to tell the next generation what we went through. Earlier, we read a passage from Psalm 79. And a snippet of this psalm appears on the cover of every Roots and Branches magazine, which is the newsletter of the Mennonite Historical Society of BC. And it says, "What we have seen and heard, we will tell the next generation." I have volunteered with Roots and Branches for a long time, on and off, and that's their motto. And the newsletters tell stories of how Mennonites have suffered. The interpretation I get from that psalm in that context is that these horrifying things that happen to Mennonites and our responsibility is to tell future generations what happened to us. What we have seen and heard means the details of the violence we endured. These are the gifts we give to the next generation. And I imagine someone saying, Heather, future generations have to know what we went through. And I'm asking, why? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't know what happened. But in classic Heather style, I want to wonder about it. I want to wonder what the end goal is here. I want to think about why we feel that our trauma stories are what we give to the next generation. Here's a non-exhaustive list of the kind of questions that ran through my mind. Do we think that if future generations don't know, then history will repeat itself? Is it because we feel we need to retain this information to assist in our own potential need to survive? Is it so that we can feel grateful for what we have right now? Is it so we can tell people they're not allowed to be upset because grandpa had it worse than you? Is it to maintain our faith because part of the narrative is that God rescued us from danger without us acknowledging that not everyone survived? Or is it creating the space for people to tell their hard stories as a way to help those survivors be heard and understood and supported? So it's not their story, it's not that their story is a gift to the next generation, but a way for future generations to love and support their elders with compassion. And there could be any number of other ideas about why we share these stories. And I'm going to read Psalm 78, 1-4 again. My people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. To me, this sounds like sharing knowledge and spiritual wisdom from our ancestors and celebrating the wonders of the divine. That's the gift that we give the next generation. To be honest, after my fever dream, I'm not very interested in the terrible details of what happened to Mennonites. And am I being harsh? I don't know. I'm open to a conversation about it. I hope the Zoom thing is still picking this up. Yeah. And I think about the gifts of my ancestors, and I am filled with a lot of gratitude. I look at the Paul's side, which is the side in this book. I'm getting way more emotional than I expected. Well, I thought this was a backup plan. Okay. I look at my Paul side and I see grit and strength and cleverness, plus a deft ability with tools and with animals. And I look at my Gertsen side and I see creativity and acceptance and really innovative people. Plus these amazing skills at making things and connecting with other people. They're skills and traits that helped them survive, and I'm really grateful for them. And that they modeled them for me. So if it's up to me to heal the pain of my ancestors, what has been handed down to me, what does that look like? And what does that look like for you? In a practical way, it means a few things for me. I read books about intergenerational trauma and informing myself about how it affects me and how it's affected members of my family. And I also talk about it with people who I feel a really strong sense of safety with. I make art about it, and I sing a lot, and I swim in cold water, and I do martial arts. And those are the things that make me feel very whole and connected, which are very important to me. Like my mind and my body and my spirit and my emotions are all one being doing something together. Like it's a one unit, and that being is connected to others and to nature and to the divine. And the more I do that, the more grounded I feel and the more compassionate and curious I feel. And I have no idea how to end this talk. More than anything, I hope it's a springboard for conversation. And on that note, I welcome you to have a think, and I look forward to our discussion time together afterwards. Thanks.